Hi, this is Bob Sorrentino from Italian Roots and Genealogy, and I'm here today with Tom Damigella, originally from Boston's North End and Great Italian Roots. So welcome, Tom. Thanks for being here.
It's my pleasure.
And six short months ago, I never knew any Italians from the North End, and now I have a whole family there. So it's been a lot of fun through Anthony.
That's right. Anthony had a great living experience here when he had his job with the senior citizens, and he just got immersed in that culture. I actually moved in. My mother was from the North End when she came from Sicily. My grandparents, my great uncles, my great aunts, they all lived in the North End. That was their first step into America. Like 1910, 1914, my mother came here when she was seven, in 1925, and I know the building she was in, et cetera. So when I was a young man, I was born in Boston, but then we did the typical migration from the inner city for my generation when my parents were now stepping up in the world, and we eventually ended up in Melrose, Massachusetts. And as a young man, I migrated back to Boston, North End, when I was 22 years old.
Oh, so you went reverse.
I went reverse. So I became, and this is when it was not popular, trust me. This is when it was still the North End, and it was still an Italian neighborhood as it was probably 100 years ago, 60 years ago, because that's 1970, let's say. And everybody was still Italian then, and I just became part of the neighborhood, and I loved living there, had my apartment, stayed there for like eight, nine years, got married. My wife moved into the North End with me, and to this day, I still have friends from the North End that go back there, and of course, kept making new friends because I've really never left, even though I moved out again when I started my second life and get married and raising a family. I'm still always going back to the North End because I had friends there, and the best part of the story is, Bob, is that my father, when he was 86 years old, finally, my mother passed away. He's living alone in the house in Melrose. And he said, I hate this house. It's too big. I don't want to stay here. There's nothing going on. I look at the squirrels in the backyard. And he said, I want to move. And I said, okay, Dad. I called him up, said, Dad, meet me at the office. And we went to the North End. And I said, we're going to rent an apartment. And he's 86 years old. Son of a gun. We went down. First apartment I looked at. Two steps up, first floor, walk in, one bedroom, kitchenette, a bathroom that has a step-in shower. He's 86 years old. I said, we'll take it. It was $1,100. This is like a 2005. And he stayed there for the next 8 years. And I said, this is the best assisted living environment I could ever have for him. He could walk around the North End, didn't need a car, could speak Italian. And he just made friends, and I always was in there with him, and we just had a wonderful time until he finally moved back home in with me in the later years of his life. But that's how the North End has been from the early years throughout my life, and then even later on, at the end of my father's life, we became still like a thread went always through the North End, and I saw all the changes that took place at the same time.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. So what drove you back there as a young man? Was it just that you missed it?
Well, I didn't know what I was missing because I knew my Italian background. I knew my history. I knew that's where our family started. And here's the reason why, too. I'm playing soccer. I'm playing in a soccer league that plays all the immigrant groups because that's who played soccer back then, hardly any Americans did. And I made a whole network of Italian friends playing soccer. Well, guess where they all hung out? In the North End. So I'm going back to the North End and having an espresso and meeting them at the cafe. And we had meetings in the North End. There was three Italian teams. And I wasn't on the Italian team. I was on another team. But they became my friends anyways. And that kind of brought me back into the North End. And then I said, I got to get an apartment. And I was going to live on my own. I had a job, et cetera. I said, I got to find an apartment here. And I did. And I stayed there, and that's how I got back there with all my Italian background, my Italian friends, and knowing the history. And then I made the Italian-American friends later on. So here's the funny part, Bob. You have two worlds in the North End. You got the Italian-Italians who came over maybe in the 50s and 70s or 60s. They love soccer, so I got that group I'm playing and friends with. And then I'm living on Fleet Street, And I'm friends with Bobby Della Russo, who's got a funeral home right next to where I am. He's got a softball team. So on Sundays, I'm playing soccer with all the Italians down in the North End field. And on weekday nights, I'm playing softball with the Italian Americans who grew up in the North End. And some of them didn't even speak Italian. So I was living in both worlds. It was really fun. And sometimes the two worlds went like this back then. They didn't always integrate at first.
I'm sure, and I guess you didn't go hungry living in the North End, huh?
Oh, no, never. In fact, one of the best stories I had is I was living on Chief Street, and I come home, single guy, 10:30 at night, it's a summer night, beautiful, and out in the street is Rosemarie Virgilio, and she lives has a whole house in the building. Her mother lives with her kids live with her, they own the whole house, and they're all sitting on the street with their lawn chairs under the streetlight, nice warm summer night. She says, "Tony, are you hungry?" And I said, "No, Rosemarie, I'm fine." "No, let me get you something. We didn't want a dish of macaroni." I said, "Okay." She comes and goes in and gets a dish of macaroni, and I'm eating with all of them in the streetlight in a beautiful summer night. I mean, that's a classic neighborhood story that you wouldn't see today.
No, you wouldn't see that.
Unless you really know a North End family that's still there, that might happen. But not as so evident as it was back then. And that was like 1970.
Wow, that's awesome. So I'm looking behind you. I see a whole bunch of history of the family.
Yep, that's right.
So let's talk a little bit about your mom and dad and where they came from and their roots.
Well, my mother was born in Sicily. She lived in a little town, Liquidia Ubea, which is maybe 30 or 45 minutes from Catania, which is on the east side of Sicily. And my father's family came from Mineo, which is a very prominent town, maybe 20 minutes from Liquidia and another mountain town. In fact, you can see Etna from that town. And in fact, this is a picture I happen to have in front of me of Liquidia. This is like the countryside. This is showing you the little Campania, the stone homes. Looks exactly the same as it did when she left.
Wow. And
so I've visited both towns several times. I got many cousins there. And I communicate with them, and I have wonderful relationships, been to a couple of weddings. And so that's where my grandparents immigrated from, Mineo and Liquidia Ubea, both Sicilians. And that's where all the Mazzonis, the Mazzarinos, the Damigella, and the Puccios, they all came from that town. And I've got the genealogy of all those families besides Bob.
Oh, that's neat. That's great.
Over here, I got like small pictures of Mineo. This is parts of Liquidia over here. Let's see. This is my parents, Ann and Tom Damigella. They started the whole American dream. They lived it. And let's see. Anything else here? I showed you the coat of arms for my family, the Mazzarino coat of arms, which is very important to my mother. She was very proud of her lineage and her heritage. And that she kind of shared with me, and I was always aware of it, so that became part of me. And in 2009, I had a cousin from Mineo, Damigella. He came and visited us for the first time, and he was my father's first cousin, but they never met. And he wanted to meet our family, and this is how we were together, the Damigella that was kind of stranded over the decades from my grandfather's family. And I took out a whole album of pictures going back to Sicily of my great grandparents, et cetera. And I started showing it to him, and he was blown away because they had none of that history, even of his family. So you know what he did? The next day he's on the phone, and I said, "Who's he talking to, Cicina?" He said, the mayor of Liquidia Ubea. I said, "Really? Yeah, he knows him. His name is La Rossi." And I said, "Okay, Nunzio." So he says, "This is what you're going to do. In August, you're going to come back during the Festa di Ovo, and we're going to have you meet the mayor, and you're going to be a special guest of the town, and they're going to present you with an honorary citizenship of your mother's hometown."
Wow, that's awesome.
In 2009, I went back with my wife, and they made a wonderful presentation, and they gave me a plaque that says I'm an honorary citizen on behalf of my mother and the wonderful life that she created later in life as becoming a successful businesswoman, et cetera. And it was the way they honored me by honoring my mother. And I tell you, it was quite an emotional experience that I've never forgotten and touched my heart and soul.
I bet.
Fact,
yeah.
It makes me emotional talking about it right now.
No, I'm sure it does. I mean, we've only been once, about 25 years ago.
That's my mother, by the way.
Oh, beautiful. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
All right.
I didn't know at the time that my father's family, both his parents, lived a half a mile from the train station. But I wasn't kind of into this yet. We were supposed to go back a month after COVID hit. We were going to go last month in September. And the people I were working with, it was iffy. They weren't sure if they were going to be able to get me every place I wanted to go. But I was going to have a lunch with 20 cousins from my paternal grandmother that I never knew existed a little while ago.
Isn't that amazing, huh?
And I just recently, I mean, just within the last few days, I just confirmed that I have a second cousin from my grandmother.
Where?
He doesn't live in Naples now. I forget where he lives. But I didn't know that my grandmother had any brothers at one time, and I finally figured out they had some brothers. And I was going back with my main contact in Italy, Cinzia, who's a fourth cousin. And there was another guy I was in touch with. He's Nicola. And we started piecing this thing together. And finally, he said, well, you know, let me ask my father. And his father's Roberto. And we figured out that, this is weird. My great-grandfather was Nicola Piermalo. My father was Nicholas, named after him. He had a first cousin that I'm sure he never knew about, named Nicola, who was born 3 years after him. His son that I've been in contact now, my second cousin, Roberto, I'm Robert. He has a son, Nicola, and I have a daughter, Nicole, and my sister has a son, Nicholas. All without knowing anybody.
Right. But did you do the Italian thing, naming after grandfathers?
No, not typically in my family so much. My mom and dad weren't into that. My father, my father's family, my mother's family, very much into it.
Well, that's everybody's, the old, that's yeah, the old part, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
My brother, it's funny you mentioned that. My grandfather, my father's father, was Ubaldo. That's not even a typical name in Italy, right?
No, it isn't, right.
Well, my cousin, who's Di Maria, he was the second son, so he was named Ubaldo. He never used it. He made himself Joseph.
Yes.
Right? My grandfather wanted my brother to be named Ubaldo. And because he was the first, he was the Sorrentino that, you know, and my mother said, you know, I love you dearly, but I, you know, this is America. I can't name my son Ubaldo.
So what year was that?
That was, my brother was born in 46.
Okay. I was born in 47. So my mother named me Thomas because my father's name was Thomas, but my grandfather was Giuseppe, would have been Joseph.
Right.
And my father was named after his grandfather, who he never met. It was a Thomas. So I should have been a Joseph.
Right.
But my mother said, I don't want a Joe in the family. So she named me after my father, even though I'm not a junior. We have different middle names. So she gave me my father's name and my great-grandfather's name. So I was happy that happened anyway. So there still is kind of an old-fashioned connection, but not exactly. And then, of course, that stopped after my children were all born and everything else. And That's practice.
Yeah, well, I would have been, I should have been a Luigi, you know, based on the naming conventions.
Based upon
and we got so many Lou's and Luigi's in the family. My mother wasn't going for that.
Well, when you look at the family tree, Robert, and I looked at mine, Bob, it goes all the grandfathers. I'll take my Mazzarino, would be like Sebastiano Pasquale, Sebastiano Pasquale, Sebastiano Pasquale. It just went to the first son. It just took the grandfather's name, and you had to almost like know the date to know which one you were talking about because the names just kept repeating itself. That was
yeah. So now, so you have these two Italian families, right? you know, in researching them, have you found anything like really interesting? Any maybe skeletons in a closet or anything like
Well,
that?
yeah, you know what I did? Just to show you how much research I did. This is just an example. Let me see. Yeah, this is an example of the Damigella family. All right?
Mm-hmm.
My cousin and I from Italy, I got that back in the 1700s.
Nice, good.
And then that's only the Damigella. Then I got one with the Puccio, who the Damigella's married, and I got the same thing from my mother's side in the Mazzoni. So I got the down line that goes on all four family trees, and I know all the cousins from all those trees besides, which is really amazing now today, that still live in Italy. And but the skeletons, let's see, interesting story. This is what we learned from my grandfather, Giuseppe Damigella, Peppino. When he left Italy, he had two other brothers that he left behind, and no, three brothers and one sister. And what we found out is that they were half brothers because my great grandfather remarried and started another family with a, in fact, her name was Sorrentino.
Oh, wow.
How's that?
Ah.
And as a result of that, nobody over there had a picture of her, Angela Sorrentino, who married my great grandfather, Tomas Damigella. And he had two sons from that marriage, Vincenzo and Francesco. So that's the second half of the family that we lost contact with after my grandfather came. He had a sister that went to Argentina, and we just found out that she's passed away, and she had two sons that now were the Umana family. And my cousin from Sicily found their names when we were doing this genealogy during the pandemic, because we were both bored and we're talking to each other. He's in Italy and I'm over here. And we got the screens like we have in front of us, and we're showing names, et cetera. And he did incredible research because he could go to the churches. So that was one thing. And we found finally that my grandfather had a Stanislav, very strange name for Italians.
Yeah.
Ended up in Naples. He left when he was a young man, went to Naples, family lost contact with him, and Nuccio found him and actually contacted, drove to Naples, found the grandson of him, and found the family story that we didn't know what happened to him. We found out that he got shot dead during World War II after it was over by accident by American soldiers.
Wow, that's crazy.
But he had children, and from those children, he had this family, and that's who Nuccio. And all of a sudden, I get a phone call from Naples with Nuccio telling me, introducing me to a second cousin that I never knew existed. So that was a mystery that we unsolved in the Damigella family. The other one, on Puccio, that married my grandfather Giuseppe, there was a mystery way back then.
Hello,
that somewhere along the line, there was somebody was a princess, and we found out that this person was really it was a mystery. My grandmother always said there's somebody that's really important, because I remember getting an invitation in the 50s from the family Ranieri, if you know the name,
mm-hmm.
goes back to Monaco,
yep.
Prince Rainier to Grace Kelly. She actually got an invitation for that wedding, and everybody didn't understand why. So then I did some research, and I found out that the Rainier family is connected to the Grimaldi family, another very important name. Well, guess what? The Grimaldi family had a branch that went all the way to Mineo, Sicily. And then doing the genealogy, I found a Grimaldi prince that married my grandmother's aunt, who was a Puccio, who not a Puccio, but she married into the Puccio family, and I found the connection.
Wow, those are great connections to find.
So it was a family mystery that I finally unraveled, and I sent it out all to my cousins about that story. And it's kind of like a fun story that finally made sense. And so that explains it too. And my older cousins really got a kick out of it. I'm not sure my younger cousins cared, but
I know what you mean. Everybody, even my older cousins think I'm nuts. So, you know.
Yeah, they don't even know who Grace Kelly was. Never mind.
My dad was a photographer for the Daily News. He actually took Grace Kelly and Ole Cassini together at a party. I'll have to send you the picture.
Oh, definitely do. It's a picture of one of my relatives. That's very nice. Grace Kelly. She married into the family.
So as you were talking, I was looking at the Libro d'Oro. Are you familiar with the Libro d'Oro? It's what it is. It's a list of Italian, basically Naples and Sicily nobility.
You see the Grimaldi family?
I was looking at Mazzarino.
Okay.
And
there's another story about that too.
And it says basically that they go back to probably the Royal Norman House of Sicily, Manfredi. And I'll send you the link so you can look at it.
That's right. That's a connection my mother found when she did the genealogy for the coat of arms, right?
Yeah. And
do you see the Mazarin in there? The name Mazarin.
I don't see Mazarin.
I'll tell you why you don't, because that's French. My Cardinal Mazarin. There was a prime minister to Louis XIV. His real name was Mazzarino. And his father left Sicily, and I think it is part of the Pietra family, and he went to Rome, I think it was, and his son became the cardinal of Louis XIV. And he's part of our Mazzarino downline that goes all the way back to Sicily.
Oh, nice.
So what you're looking at there, that's right. That's where the Mazzarino family goes that far back. And that's one of our family trees.
We'll be right back.
Italian Roots and Genealogy is proudly sponsored by Your Dolce Vita and Dawn Matera, connecting people to their purpose in life and continuing their legacy. For more information, contact Dawn at www.yourdolcevita.com. I'll send you the link.
Yeah, thank you.
Because you'll probably, you know, once you start going through it, and that's how I found all, you know, my connection was both through the nobility of Naples and then this Libro d'Oro. Libro d'Oro gives you a list of, you know, all of the families.
I'd like to see that. I'm not familiar with it. That'd be another good resource. Great. Thank you.
But, you know, I found out that, you know, by using this and other things, that I go back to all the kings and queens, basically, of Spain, Italy, France. I mean, you know, as direct descendants. In fact, one of my great-grandfathers is Pope Paul III. So I don't know if you're familiar, if you show the show The Borgias.
Oh, yes.
Right. So you know, the Borgia Pope, Alexander, he had his girlfriend, Julia Farnese, or Farnese.
Yep.
Her brother, you remember he made her brother the cardinal?
Right.
That's my grandfather.
Wait, your grandfather or your great-great?
Well, great, you know, 13th great-grandfather, yeah. Whatever it was.
That's an amazing connection, isn't it?
It was, you know, I had done the history already, right? So I knew that I was a, you know, great-grandson of Alessandro Farnese, Pope Paul III. And my wife and I are watching this show, and he pops on the screen, Alessandro Farnese, and I said to my wife, I said, that's my grandfather. She said, what do you mean? I said, that young kid eventually becomes Pope, and he's my grandfather, my great-grandfather. I think he's 13th or something like that.
It's funny when you say that to your wife, because see, here's Cardinal Mazarin right here.
Yep. Yeah, that's, I think I've seen that picture before, probably.
Yeah, his real name is Mazarino. And I was going out in Paris, and I was going on a tour to Versailles, and the woman that was Italian was giving her a story about Versailles. No, she wasn't Italian, she was French, but... And all of a sudden, with all my friends on the bus, and she says, and we're going to see where Cardinal Mazzarino. She used the word Mazzarino. And I'm going, oh, by the way, that's my relative. And they all looked at me, get out of here. What are you talking about? No, he's a, that's my family, Mazzarino. He was the prime minister. He was with Louis the 14th. You know, the guy right there, Louis the 14th. And they said, get out of here. You know, it was funny.
It is funny when you're, you know, and people say to me, well, you know, there's so many people related to these people. And I said, well, of course, I know that. I said, the thing is, to be able to find it,
right?
To be lucky enough, like you know, you had your mom's story. I have my great grandfather's card. If you have that link, it's an incredible journey. Now, my mom's family were, you know, they were farmers from Bari. You know, I got back to 1800, 1750, you know, somewhere around there, and that's as far as I'm probably going to get, unless I go there and, you know, start going through the,
you know, that's right.
The churches.
I've been to Bari. I was there for a day, and I have a friend over there too. And what's it? Ruvo, which is not too far from it, town Ruvo. But I think I was fortunate because, you know, the story of Sicilians coming from the old world to America, they always tell the story about them being peasants, people that did not have much, and they were leaving such a miserable situation. Fortunately, both sides of my family, they were people that were landowners, or they had some type of title and position. In fact, two of the families had lawyers and judges in the family. Mm-hmm. So they came over with some type of substantial background in history that you could trace and find because it was being recorded at the time. And that's why I was so fortunate to find. But I didn't have the typical story of, you know, they were just people that were just, I guess, you know, very poor peasants coming from Sicily. I didn't have that kind of same story in some cases. They were people of better means that fortunately they were, but still at the same time, why did they leave? They also felt like there was a better place to go to than where they were living. And that's why half the family left and half the family stayed there. And I think my grandfather had the intention when he first came here, because he left even kids back there. My mother stayed with my great grandparents until she was 7 years old.
Yeah.
So it was the attitude that maybe they were going to go back to Italy.
And that's what happened with my uncle, my oldest uncle. They left him behind, I think, thinking they were going to go back. My mom's family.
Right.
And they didn't.
Right.
So everybody else was born here. When my uncle came in 1950, he had never met any of his brothers or sisters.
And how old was he in 1950?
He was, I think he was around 45 or so.
So, see, my mother came at 7. So she's, and my other aunt came at 5 years old. So they connected with the family, even though they were left behind, unlike your uncle. I mean, that's like really being left behind.
He never met his brothers and sisters.
That's really a separation.
Yeah. And he hadn't seen his parents in like 35 or 40 years or something like that. Now, to your point about, now, my dad's father, they weren't nobility, but they had some, you know, aristocratic standing, because my great grandfather was he was a lawyer, and I have his father's marriage record is like 14 pages, because his wife, her father was a lawyer and probably a big shot lawyer, and must have wanted this contract to be nailed shut. And it's this, it's incredible, this document. But I later found out, and this is crazy, and you never know where you're going to find things. I was on newspapers.com, and I knew that my father was born in Scotch Plains, New Jersey, and my you know, grandparents lived there for many years. And I found an article, or an obituary, actually several of them, where they named my great-grandfather in Italy, that he passed away, and that he was a Supreme Court justice in Naples. This is from a small New Jersey paper, probably around 1928-1929.
Was it a story or an obituary?
It was obituary, just a little.
So then they tell the story of the family going all the way back. That's how you...
Yeah, just a little blurb.
Right. I was so fortunate. My mother actually had these pictures going of great, great people and she had them in a photo album. She wrote the names, who they were, what the wives were. And there was a Judge Mazzoni, which was my great, great uncle, grandfather, who was on my mother's side. And that's how I got to know the history and the background of the family. And I could see the connection and what their standing. In fact, then the Mazzarino family, I found out that my great-grandfather and his father were both the sindaco of Liquidale Bear. They were mayors of the town. So that was, again, and my mother always told me about it, and she was very, you know, proud of that fact that she had that kind of background in her family. And she told me just wonderful stories that I was able to recreate when I went back with her when I was 18 years old, Bob, in 1965. And that's the first time she went back to Sicily since she left as a little girl in 1925.
Wow.
So here we are 40 years later, and I'm 18, and I go back to that little mountain town, Liquidale Bear, driving up at night through the roads like this, you know, and pull right up in front of the house that she was born in. And all the cousins came rushing out, and it was just a big hug, embrace, and tears. And I'm hugging people are hugging me, and I had no idea who they were. But that was something that always stayed inside me. From that moment on, I always had that affinity to my mother's and my family's roots. And I finally got back there in 2002. From 1965, and went back, and I've been since then. I've been back there 8 times.
Oh, that's fabulous. That's
and
great.
Really, and brought my kids back with me, and I was able to regenerate that feeling I had, because my mother said, "We're going to go back together." We never did, and then she got sick, wrote a letter, then she got sick, and we never got back there together because that was the thing I wanted to do, and she passed away, and I said, "Oh my God, now what do I do?" And one day I get an email in 2002, she passed away in 1997. And it said in Italian, looking for the D'Amigella family. And it was my cousin from Liquidia who was trying to find us because he saw the pictures of us back in 1965. And I saw it on the computer screen and I had a shiver go through my spine. I said, "Ma, I found the way back," this email. And I wrote back to him. And from that moment on, we made plans. And next thing we know, we dad, my father and I, my wife and my son, 18 years old, goes back to Sicily and we meet the family all over again. And we have been loving families ever since. And that's how my reconnection started.
Yeah. And you know, that's, you know, I feel the same way. You know, the one time, everybody has the same thing. You know, we were in Rome, of course, and then to Naples a little bit, and then to Sorrento. And we were walking around one day, and my wife said, "You love it here, don't you?" Now, I hadn't met anybody.
Right.
But I said, "I feel like I'm among my people," because you're walking around and you see people that are just so familiar to you, and the food is so familiar, and even the language, you know, even though I don't speak Italian. You know, I knew certain words and just, you know, hear the accent and everything like that. I'm getting goosebumps talking about it.
I hear you.
You have that magic or whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean?
When you met your family, the magic is even.
I know.
But you did, but it's postponed. But I'll tell you what you're going to experience. I go back that first trip and I'm really crazy. I'm seeing my mother everywhere. I'm walking in her footsteps, et cetera. I'm an emotional basket case. So we're at my cousin's house and Maria's cooking. She's in the kitchen and she's cooking exactly the same food that I grew up eating in my mother's kitchen and all my aunts and uncles, because that's where they learned to cook and they never changed it. And she's doing the same thing. I was just overwhelmed by the emotion of, I felt like I was home, just like you said, being somewhere that it was very familiar and natural. I know exactly what you're talking. That's what you're going to go through. Because when I went back many times, every time I must have had at least 5 parties the last time we went in 2017, seeing every branch of the family, and everywhere I went, they had at least 20 people and we had a big festa.
So I have to ask you, has it crossed your mind to get Italian citizenship, and or have you ever thought about spending a whole lot of time there. I'm telling you, I would spend, I mean, I'd spend months there if my wife would let me, but she's not going to let me. But, I just feel like I this need to connect.
Oh, Robert, I got to answer the question. Just like you said, in a heartbeat, I'd do it, but it's not natural. My wife wouldn't want to do it, and I can't tell you. To me, that exactly the same feeling. And even though I go back there, and I even know her family, we've met them in Gaeta, which is near Naples, where your family's from. I've connected to everybody, and I feel like I could stay here for a long time, no problem. Ask so. Yeah, but I thought about the dual citizenship and I said, okay, a lot of extra effort to do what? It wasn't accomplished what I, if I was going to stay there for 6 months or something, I'd say, yeah, I'd go through the process, but it's not going to happen. So I'll
Yeah,
just.
I mean, I'm considering it. In fact, I kind of started the process because I found out that you could fast track it if you spend 45 days there, you could actually fast track it.
You're right, I did hear that. Because you can go
And
through their consulates over there, which can make it work faster and
that's
skip a lot of the
much
steps.
faster,
But you
much
have to stay
faster.
there 45 days or so.
45 days, which I wouldn't necessarily have a problem, but I'm so jealous of my friend Antonia from grammar school. And she lived in Los Angeles for practically virtually her whole life from 19 years old. 2 years ago, she got her Italian citizenship and she moved. Packed up, and she wasn't married, she doesn't have any kids. Packed up, she's in Salerno and loving it, just traveling around Italy, you know? So I want to ask you too. Now, have you done any DNA testing to find anything out?
But yeah, I did that years ago. And even though I had a good idea of my tree already, the ancestry.com and the genealogy, they weren't very good at the beginning because I was one of the first ones to do it, spit in the tube. And but they didn't have enough data. So it's kind of vague the way they said it's connected. But if you when I finally got the update, this was no surprise. It said I was 97% Sicilian. And I said, no kidding, because I knew my lineage. And it was never broken because my father and mother were from Sicily. They had me. I'm as Sicilian as my cousins over there because we never broke the bloodline. So it was no surprise. And there was never any mixture from another part of Italy or whatever because it was right in those two towns. It goes back generations. So, there was no mystery to it, but it just confirmed what I already knew.
Yeah, see, now that's interesting. Now, my wife is half Sicilian and half Puerto Rican, right? And she's all over the map. But she lived in, her family came from Sciacca, a port town.
I know
So
Shaq.
it's not surprising that she's got, Norwegian and French and Moorish and you name it, she's got it. But, that was a fishing village port town. So, everybody and his brother was probably in and out of there,
Well, Shaq is a very important town in the North End. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Okay,
No.
you got to do this next summer, one of the summers. You come up during the Fisherman's Feast. It's your wife's hometown. Shaka is they got a Madonna della Socorso is their patron saint, and they have a 4-day feast. It's one of the most exciting feasts in the North End, and it's in the middle of August.
Oh,
And
wow.
everybody in that society, their relatives have got to be from Shaka. So
No kidding.
she might have some relatives that are in the North End that she could reconnect if she ever came up, and I could introduce you to the people if you ever want to do that.
Definitely. I'm definitely gonna do. Do you let me know when in August it is? And
Okay,
we'll get. I
give you
mean,
a heads up.
Boston's a hop, skip, and a jump.
But
So,
yeah.
that's nothing.
Oh, you're gonna love it. It's great. You got to come up for like several days, and they have a big finale on Sunday night where they have the Flight of the Angel, which I think has basically became a Shaka North End tradition. Doesn't happen in Shaka Sicily, but they turned it into something that it's one of a kind experience where they actually fly a little girl and then reads this Italian thing while she's talking to the Madonna della Socorso, which is the
Oh,
saint that
wow.
they're carrying around. It's quite an event. So, okay, she'll love it.
Oh, yeah. No, that's great. Yeah. I had no idea.
Funny, Anthony knows all about it. He's actually was there when it happened. He's seen it, so I think we got video of it. But I don't even know if I want to show you the video. I think it just surprise you when you get there.
Yeah. No, I think we'd rather be surprised.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'd rather be surprised. Well, let me tell you, Tommy, this has been eye-opening, fantastic. I love talking to you about
Same
all of
here.
this stuff, and I'm going to make sure. Don't go away, because I'm going to make sure I want to show you something. So.
Okay.